This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
E-commerce is widely expected to continue its double-digit growth here in Malaysia. Now, such potential not only attracts new players into the delivery and logistics industry, but also helps existing players find new growth avenues as well. And here to talk about the company and industry's prospects, we welcome Christopher Ong, Managing Director for Malaysia and Brunei for DHL Express. Good morning, Chris, and welcome back to the program. 4 years since you were last on.
Yes, good morning, Chun Han. Yes, it's great to be back.
Let's talk about what e-commerce is doing for DHL Express. How much has e-commerce contributed to your growth in recent years? Give us a sense here.
Well, I think, you know, you read about e-commerce driving double-digit growth, you know, and that has basically been the experience we've had. I think cross-border e-commerce has been booming, you know, whether it's, you know, people buying from the US into Asia, you know, from Amazons and, you know, all the brand owners out in the US or even from Europe. You know, a lot of these high-end brands do have their online presence. And so a lot of Asians are actually consuming that out here in Asia. And on the flip side, there are a lot of, you know, people in Australia, US and Europe also consuming items that are actually manufactured locally here from Malaysia. I mean, we've seen a very healthy double-digit growth, right, in line, very much in line with what you see the market trends are. I think, you know, Malaysian SMEs have really now started to understand the impact and the profitability of selling online. Because, you know, what you would perhaps sell for 80, 90 ringgit here in Malaysia, you can essentially sell for 80, 90 pounds online into the UK. Right. So we have quite a lot of these Muslimah fashion customers who have, you know, lovely, you know, dresses, you know, tudungs and stuff like that, that people in the UK just cannot get.
We hear this phrase often bandied about when it comes to e-commerce. It's the sexy thing right now, double-digit growth, right? Like you alluded to just now. But then how do you square that off with, say, what the Retail Group Malaysia is reporting? They're saying that only 2% of all retail sales in Malaysia come from e-commerce. So 2% of total sales versus double-digit growth. You know, how do you square those off there?
Well, it's because a lot of the double-digit growth is coming from the low base, you know. So essentially, I think personally, I think the number is probably higher than 2%. Mm. Okay. Just looking at the trends, especially the millennials, the way that they spend, and with, you know, one click buying, it becomes an addiction. It becomes a form of entertainment. And if you look at the more developed markets in the US, it's already, you know, between 15 to 20%, you know, in terms of contribution of retail, you know.
I'm trying to get a sense as to whether or not we are at risk of overstating the potential for e-commerce here in Malaysia. Look, recently I was having a chat with some entrepreneurs who got into the game relatively early, and early meaning 2014, 2013, right, around that time. But from their experiences, they appear to have jumped the gun, right, whereby the Malaysian market was slow in the pickup. Sure, you mentioned we're getting the double-digit growth from that low base, but really how substantial is the size of the e-commerce market here in Malaysia?
Well, I think it's expected to grow exponentially. I think, you know, last year at a MCMC conference, you know, we talked about how currently there are probably about 400 million packages, right, that are transported within Malaysia domestically. And the expectation is to grow exponentially to hit 1 billion in a couple of years, right? And I think, you know, if you then just take a look at, you just take a look at where the developed markets are, again, you know, Malaysia will follow suit. I mean, this, for example, let's just move to a different industry, low-cost carrier industry, right? It started out in Europe, right? You had your Ryanairs, your EasyJets out in the US as well, Southwest, and eventually came to Malaysia, and look what's happened with AirAsia. You know, so I feel it's a matter of time.
Now, given the tremendous opportunity that you outlined there, as I mentioned earlier, certainly it's attracting a lot of players into this same space. So how does DHL Express differentiate itself from the other players?
Yeah, I think, you know, clearly what we are able to do, I mean, whether it's a B2C or a B2B shipment, is really about our service levels. Firstly, it's about speed, right? We own our assets, you know, from door to door. So whether it's the courier who picks up the shipment, to the van that it goes in, to the facilities that it passes through, to the aircraft that it gets on, right? It's basically managed and controlled by DHL, which then guarantees a service level. You know, globally, we commit to, you know, extremely high service levels to our customers. And as a result, they have the confidence that their items get there. Right. So a lot of perhaps the newer players, a lot of them focus on the ground delivery. But the fact is, we focus on cross-border. Right. And it's about door to door. And you need to be able to clear customs. You need to know the customs regulations clearly and be able to advise both the shipper and the consignee. That means the person shipping it and receiving it need to understand these complexities. Right. So we are there essentially to advise, whether it's our customer service advisors to our sales, you know, account managers. They're extremely well trained. We have this training program called Certified International Specialists, where our people are trained specifically about cross-border trade. So we don't really compete with the domestic players. I mean, we're not really in that market, although we do carry some domestic shipments, right, because of the request of customers. But otherwise, the focus is really about this cross-border trade.
Right.
You know?
And I hear you outline those selling points, but then I'm sure the folks at UPS, the folks at FedEx, you know, TNT, they are promising the same things as well. In fact, I just had a chat with an exporter here in Malaysia recently, you know, asking her about her experiences with all these cross-border shipping services. She gives me this picture that, look, there's very little loyalty. At the end of the day, it's price, and if they can do the job, essentially just don't mess up, she'll go with them, right?
Sure.
So how do you battle against that mindset? Because it appears that at the end of the day, price is still king.
Well, I think, you know, yes, I must acknowledge that Malaysia is quite a price-sensitive market. But having said that, I do not agree that there's no loyalty. In the sense that we have worked with customers large and small and to help them to grow. And I think, you know, we have worked with some customers that started out as, you know, a very small SME in a shop lot. And today, this customer has grown with us over the last 10 years and they give us over 1,000 shipments a day right now.
So given those kind of customers, what's your market share right now?
Well, we in Asia, we're the market leader.
What about Malaysia?
We believe we're the market leader here as well.
Double digits already?
Yes, I think we have a relatively large share. I think we have the largest network of facilities in the country, most number of vehicles, largest number of people, right, servicing the market. And we have four dedicated aircraft that service the Malaysian market. So, you know, in terms of if you just compare the assets that we have on the ground, you know, clearly we do have a significant share of the market.
All right. And how does Malaysia's story compare with the regional context? Because you also were the country manager for DHL Express over there in Vietnam.
Yes.
Compare and contrast those two experiences there. Are you aiming to replicate the same experience that you had in Vietnam here in Malaysia?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, Vietnam is a less developed market. I mean, Malaysia is a lot more developed than Vietnam. There's a lot more manufacturing that is already established here in the country and very much more, you know, higher on the development curve. I think Vietnam, you know, is experiencing very healthy double-digit growth. Again, part of it because the size of the population there, I mean, over 90 million people, and a lot of them moving up into the middle class. So consumption is growing rapidly in the country. And in Vietnam, when I was there, we built out a lot of new facilities, refleeted the vehicles. We're doing exactly the same here in Malaysia. And the fact is, Malaysia is a much larger business than Vietnam. And so what's happened here, and, you know, the express industry follows the development of a country. So the more developed a country is, the larger is the express market size because you will have a lot more high-end manufacturing and high-end consumption, which then requires that high-end, shall we say, delivery services, right? I mean, the fact is, you know, given the culture today of, well, instant gratification, right, where you know, I mean, I think that's been trained by WhatsApp. You want to see the two blue ticks, right? So the fact is, when you buy something online, you want it fulfilled as quickly as possible, especially if it's something very expensive,
right?
So you will use someone like DHL. Now, for exporters as well, I think, you know, if the value of item is very high, they want to make sure that, you know, it gets there, right? So what we offer is peace of mind.
When we come back, we'll talk more about your investments here into Malaysia. I'm speaking to Christopher Ong, Managing Director for Malaysia and Brunei for DHL Express. This is BFM 89.9. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Christopher Ong, Managing Director for Malaysia and Brunei for DHL Express. Now, Chris, in the first half, we spoke about how e-commerce is seen as a catalyst for growth for DHL Express. And on that note, DHL Express has been investing heavily here into Malaysia, one of which is an 11 million ringgit logistic facility over there in Johor, set to come online in the first quarter of 2019. Is there enough demand to fill up that capacity there?
Well, I think, you know, we have seen Johor growing very rapidly over the last few years, with significant investments coming in from other MNCs, setting up in the free zones, moving quite a lot of their distribution centers and so on across from Singapore, actually into Johor Bahru. And I think, you know, the growth of Johor has been exciting for us, because I think both the state government has been also driving, you know, Johor as an attractive investment location for multinationals, as well as, you know, attracting other countries, right, to sink money in there. And our facility in Johor really is designed for the long term in mind, right? In fact, our existing facility has been around for about 20 years, and you know, really, we've really outgrown that facility tremendously. And so we're putting in, you know, new facilities more than double the size of what we have today. And it'll be fully solar powered during the day. And we'll be looking at, you know, it's a combined facility as well, to have a gateway as well as a service center. So what it means is that shipments coming in will be cleared via customs in that facility before it is then distributed to the rest of Johor.
Right, but based on what I've read, it appears to be serving more of an outbound traffic more so than inbound. Is that a fair justification?
No, I think it's both. It's both. I think with the manufacturing that is happening there, we have large contract manufacturing customers that are there. They use that facility to bring in a lot of components that they use for manufacturing. And in fact, you know, here in Malaysia, the manufacturing has really picked up over the last, you know, 18, 24 months. I think, you know, where you see in places like Penang, where it's always been, you know, electronics manufacturing, high-end manufacturing has been well entrenched. We're seeing huge amounts of growth there as well, which is why earlier this year, we actually launched a new flight. We upgraded our aircraft from an A300 Airbus cargo flight to an A330, which is a new generation, first of its kind. I mean, we did a passenger to freighter conversion, and we're the first operator in the world to operate this new aircraft. So it's more fuel efficient, higher capacity, and it's sized really more for e-commerce, because, you know, it can take a lot more volumetric weight.
Right. Yeah. So you've got this 11 million ringgit facility in Johor, again, set to come online next year. That adds, I believe, to your existing 11 or 12 or so existing facilities already here in Malaysia. That appears to be a vote of confidence in terms of the state of infrastructure here in Malaysia.
Yes, I think we are bullish in terms of our outlook for the country. I mean, if you look at the GDP growth, you know, over 5%, you know, many countries, right, would you know, be jealous of that kind of growth. And we are already very high up on the development, you know, curve. And so I think there is really lots and lots of potential. And the fact is, we do have you know, good infrastructure. I mean, if you look at the roads, and I've got colleagues from around the world coming to visit, and when we drive along the North-South Highway to get to visit our facilities, they remark that, you know, some of our roads are just as good as what they can get, you know, back out in Europe and so on, you know. So the infrastructure is there, right, for us to take advantage. And because Peninsula is a contiguous, you know, piece of land, right, you can actually leverage on the road infrastructure for some of the distribution as well.
What about the broader ecosystem then? Because your services are not just reliant on the quality of roads. It's everything from services, insurance, you know, the ease of payments, customs, the whole nine yards, right? So give us a sense as to how conducive is the whole Malaysian ecosystem to your business.
Well, I think if we were to use a reference point, for example, the World Bank's Logistics Performance Index, Malaysia has scored well on a lot of these fronts, you know, infrastructure and so on.
But
there are some challenges perhaps in implementation of certain regulations, you know, perhaps some rapid changes, you know, in certain regulations, right? I guess sometimes the regulators could potentially have more industry consultation before they decide to roll out a certain regulation. Right. So that I think they could better understand some of the intricacies of a particular industry.
But this example will be the previous administration,
yes,
correct?
Yes. We have in the past engaged closely with the Ministry of Transport, METI, and so on. In fact, we do a lot of we actually conduct seminars together with METI and other government agencies, also to help a lot of SMEs, you know, to get out into the market. So we do have these collaborations. And of course, we have regular dialogues with customs, for example, because our business is, you know, fully dependent on, you know, working well with customs. I mean, I think, you know, we're completely compliant and we're working with customs to help facilitate trade, because we believe that by facilitating trade, we actually raise the income levels for the whole country, right? And I think we've seen that now a lot more SMEs are willing to go abroad. I mean, we hope that more are willing to, you know, go abroad, because this is all export dollars coming into the country. And the best part is, you know, we now see it in even the most far-flung places within the country.
Yeah, we often hear about SMEs accounting for about, what, 97-98% of all businesses here in Malaysia, yet their contribution to GDP is far off that mark. So you're saying that SMEs have been slow in really fulfilling their potential? Is that what I'm getting from you?
Yeah, I think a lot of our SME customers are very comfortable trading within the local market here in Malaysia. And perhaps there's this fear of going abroad, fear of the unknown, not knowing how, you know, they would be able to access those markets, engage with the end consumer. But the fact is, the internet is a fantastic leveler, right? And, you know, information can flow seamlessly anywhere in the world. And now with DHL, even the goods can get anywhere in the world. Now, we've got an example of one customer. This is really a fantastic example that I love. We've got this customer sitting in Kota Bharu that sells vintage clothing, secondhand clothing, right? And he sells to the world through DHL. The most expensive thing he has shipped through us is a $1,700 T-shirt.
What?
That was sent from Kota Bharu, and it went into the US and got delivered in 2 days from Kota Bharu.
Yeah, I mean, forget the 2 days. It's a $1,700 T-shirt.
Yes.
Okay.
And he sold it on Etsy, which is a website for, you know, people that are interested in these types of vintage things and so on. Now, he doesn't sell that every day, but he has a thriving business. And he's a one-man show that, you know, is turning over a very healthy, you know, revenue.
But this individual may be the exception, not so the norm, right? So is the onus on the government or is it on these SMEs to break out of their shells and fulfill their potential?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's starting. You know, like, for example, the DFTZ, when that rolled out, I think it got a lot of SMEs thinking. It got the SMEs to try to risk something, because it's two ways, right? The fact that the DFTZ opens the doors for perhaps a lot of China-made products coming into our market means that, you know, our SMEs now need to also look for other markets, you know, for their goods. And so what has happened is, you know, like you say, that particular customer is a bit of a unique one. But the great thing is he's teaching his whole community how to do it. So all of a sudden, you can see the income levels of that community all of a sudden start to rise from all these export dollars coming in. Now, that's one example. We are now seeing it all across the peninsula. And now we've also started doing some of this education across in East Malaysia as well. We ran a workshop, a seminar up in Miri, right, a couple of weeks ago, and it was extremely well attended. And people are now really seeing the potential because, again, you don't have to go through your traditional route of finding a distributor, a wholesaler, you know, just to get your products to the end market. With the internet and being able to leverage on whether the likes of eBay, Amazon, Etsy, or other platforms, you're able to get your goods out into the world together with DHL very quickly.
You just had to get the plug in there.
Of course.
Yeah. So coming back to the DFTZ, how much growth is that potentially for DHL Express in particular? I mean, how much are you factoring into your projections?
Well, I think the DFTZ for the time being is very much focused on, shall we say, one lane pair, China-Malaysia. Right. And I think for the time being, that focus is really more of, shall we say, domestic fulfillment at this point. Now, for exports out of the DFTZ, again, it's now very much focused on just China. Mm. Right. It's a, you know, because until you've got a couple of DFTZs across, let's say, the region, which then requires a lot more cross-border trading, right, it hasn't honestly given us a huge uplift.
Right. And the perception out there is that this is set to benefit Chinese entities more than Malaysian entities. What are you seeing? Digital free trade zone.
I think for a start, of course, I think the Chinese companies that are selling to Malaysia have got better access. Malaysian companies have started. I think they have, you know, we've got now 2,000, I think, SMEs that are actually within the DFTZ, and it is starting to sell into China. Because actually China, the demand for Malaysian goods, especially things like food products, you know, agri-type products, right, extremely high because food safety, halal. These are the two things that a lot of Chinese consumers are keen to have, right, in that market. So I think, you know, Malaysian companies have started, but I think, you know, there can be a bit more momentum into, you know, driving them into China.
All right, now with the 30 seconds that we have left, Chris, sum it up for us here. What is your near-term outlook for DHL Express here in Malaysia?
Well, we're very bullish on the outlook here. I think, you know, on our B2B side, manufacturing actually is booming here in Malaysia. So we're seeing growth in that area. And we're also seeing the SMEs and B2C being that second sort of like wind that is helping us in our growth in the country. So we're very bullish about the market here.
All right. Well, Chris, we certainly hope you don't wait another 4 years before you come back and update us. Thank you so much. That was Christopher Ong, Managing Director for Malaysia and Brunei for DHL Express. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile. Your passion drives our unlimited ideas.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.